Listener Production.
From The Monthly and Listener, it's The Politics. I'm Rachel Withers, and today, Desperately Tweaking Susan. Much of the past 24 hours has been focused on incoming Liberal leader Peter Dutton as he commences his utterly transparent promise to change, with wife Kiralee of He Is Not a Monster fame along for the ride. The move, as I wrote yesterday, is shameless, with Dutton having a long and well-documented track record that goes against everything the electorate just voted for. And that record cannot simply be swept away, hard as News Corp might try. Less attention, however, has been paid to his probable deputy, Susan Lee, who looks set to take the position of strong woman deputy. Her being a woman is perhaps the only way in which this choice reflects a willingness to listen to voters in the seats the Liberals lost on Saturday, with many people clearly fed up with the blokey coalition leadership. But when it comes to the other issues reflected in the election result, the choice of Lee does not signal that much has been learnt, given her terrible record of environmental vandalism and flouting the rules on ministerial entitlements. So much for the climate election, or the vote for integrity. It's increasingly apparent that the Liberals won't be listening to a word voters said. But can we expect Lee, who once added an extra S to her first name because she thought it might change her personality, to also attempt a pivot here? Susan Lee is not the high-profile culture warrior that Dutton is. It's unlikely, for example, that we're going to experience a media cycle in which a Labour minister apologises for comparing her to Voldemort. Though when exactly will Dutton be apologising for all the offensive things he has said? She may not be Voldemort, but there's no doubt that Lee has been an appalling environment minister, whose term comprised of a long series of approving mines and burying damaging reports. Lee has had a hand in approving many of the devastating number of fossil fuel projects currently in the pipeline, including three coal mine extensions in the space of a month last year. She even tried to make it easier for mining projects by allowing them to bypass environmental approvals. In fact, under Lee, the ministry has found more renewable projects, quote, clearly unacceptable, than it has coal mines, while inconvenient reports have been buried for political expediency. There are two main events that define Lee's stint as environment minister, although there are plenty more to choose from. The first is her decision to fight a landmark ruling that found she had a duty of care to protect Australian children from climate harm, a fight she won, much to the distress of the teens who brought the case. The second was her sustained lobbying, with the backing of Saudi Arabia, to prevent the Great Barrier Reef being listed by UNESCO as in danger, even though it quite clearly is. This was another fight Lee won, if only she had put half as much effort into protecting the environment as she did into protecting her government from scrutiny. It's worth remembering that Lee had only returned to the ministry in 2018, after standing down as health minister in 2017 over her serious misuse of taxpayer-funded entitlements, including a taxpayer-funded trip to the Gold Coast on which she unexpectedly purchased an investment property, and a trip to the US for which she charged taxpayers more than $10,000 per day. At the time, the controversy reopened debate about the need for a federal ICAC, though as Guardian Australia noted last year, the controversy wouldn't have been eligible for investigation under the Coalition's proposed model. It could potentially, however, be investigated by the stronger model being proposed by independent MP Helen Haynes, meaning the Liberals' new deputy could be in its firing line. Voters on Saturday sent a clear message to the Coalition that they'd had enough of the rorting, the entitlement, and most of all, the climate vandalism. People no longer wanted to vote for a party that would fight tooth and nail against being asked to protect children or the Great Barrier Reef. Peter Dutton is one of the worst choices the Liberal Party could possibly make here, as it attempts its long journey back from the wilderness. But Susan Lee isn't far behind him. Elsewhere in politics, we're starting with our good opinion of the day. Greens Senator Lydia Thorpe has used National Sorry Day and the 25th anniversary of the Bringing Them Home report to renew calls for a national compensation scheme. As she tweeted, "How many of our people have died since the report was released? How much longer do our people have to wait for the report's recommendations to be implemented?" And in bad opinion, former Prime Minister Scott Morrison has broken his silence on 2GB, but is still refusing to acknowledge the massive repudiation of his party, his personality, and his politics. As he told Ben Fordham, "Sometimes people like to change the curtains just because they like to change the curtains." Talking numbers, and power bills are expected to rise by as much as 20% in parts of the country, according to the Energy Regulator's report, which was delayed by the outgoing Morrison government. And in today's policy, the leaked draft of a deal Beijing is hoping to sign with 10 Pacific nations shows it wants more involvement in policing and cybersecurity. Anthony Albanese says the situation is a failure of the previous government as Penny Wong heads to Fiji to begin the repair. In today's episode of 7am, the Hillsong Church was started in Sydney by Brian and Bobby Houston. It went on to become one of the world's greatest Pentecostal forces. That was until a series of scandals forced Brian and Bobby out. Now, leaked emails show exactly how the family responded. Today, 7am is joined by Elle Hardy, author of Beyond Belief, How Pentecostal Christianity is Taking Over the World. Listen to 7am now on the Listener app. And that is The Politics for Thursday, May 26. Subscribe to The Politics on the Listener app to hear new episodes as soon as they drop. And head to themonthly.com.au to subscribe to The Politics newsletter, delivered straight to your inbox every weekday afternoon. I'm Rachel Withers, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.